everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today I'm really excited to interview someone who has become a really good friend of mine. Rachel Cruz is the daughter of Dave Ramsey and has made it her mission to help the next generation find hope through financial peace. And it's working. I know so many people who have found help for their finances through your organization, and I know you have. Thank you for being with me, Rachel.
Thank you, Meg. Thanks for having me on. Yeah. This is fun.
Oh, this is really fun. It's really fun because I'm usually sitting at the opposite side of the table. You know, one of the reasons I wanted to interview Rachel is you talk a lot, as you've been on the road with your new book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, about contentment in the next generation. By the next generation, I mean your generation, not mine. What are you finding in contentment as you're out there talking with young adults, your generation?
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting concept, especially when you look at it through the lens of money.
Yeah.
We talk about in the book, and what we believe is you can never be financially fit until you're content. Discontent people will always look for the bigger, better things. So for parents today, as you're raising kids in this world that is so discontent, it's really an uphill battle for them. And I think it's tough, and I think it's a hard thing to claim to be content. I look through Facebook and Instagram, and it's just like this, you're window shopping, you know, of what everyone is doing, the vacations they're taking, the cars they're driving, the houses they live in, the meals they're eating. I mean, all of this, it's just this, everyone puts their best foot forward on social media. And this is what we're seeing, what life should be like. And it's like, hey, my life doesn't look like that. Mm-hmm. So it's so easy to be discontent. And so this is the world that we live in. This is how we're engaging with people now today, is through an iPhone. So when we looked at this subject, Dad and I, when we were writing this book, we were like, okay, how do you raise a child to be content?
Right.
What does this look like?
Well, define contentment for me, please. Just for our listeners out there. If you meet someone who's genuinely content, what does that person look like? Or what do they sound like?
I think it's an emotional, a spiritual peace that you have where you are in life. Mm-hmm. Contentment is not apathy. It's not laziness. You know, you can be very active and be content. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a spiritual exercise of being completely grateful for where you are in this moment in life. And that's with money, relationships, everything. So can everything be better? Yes, we can work and work hard with parenting, work hard within our marriage, work hard within our finances to be better. But where God has us in this moment, to be at peace with that.
Mm-hmm. So you were talking about people who are discontent reaching for more. What does contentment have? We have come to believe, I guess, that contentment has something to do with getting more, is what I'm hearing you saying. So how do we break that?
I think it's tough because it's not a numbers game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's to getting to this place when it comes to money, especially finances, to get in a place where you have peace with it. Mm-hmm. So I think that means getting control of your money. I think it means living on a budget, saving, being wise with the resources God has given you to be in a place where you can rest emotionally and spiritually in regards to money. And I would stress, you know, that it's not laziness. You can always do better. You can always reach for more. And I think that that's a great thing. But again, currently where you sit today, to have that peace. And so it's not about the number. And I think there's so many studies. It's so interesting. There was one that was published a few years ago where they talked to a family that was making $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And they said, are you rich? Are you happy with where you're at? And they said, no, we're not rich. No, you know, we would be so much better off and more happy, more content if we were making $200,000 a year.
Ah.
And they went to a family with making $200,000, same conversation. They said, no. If we were making $400,000 a year, we would be content. And they kept going down this line, finding these families that made the salary that you would think would be happiness and richness and contentment, you know, all of that wrapped in. And they went to a family, finally, they got to $2 million, making $2 million a year. And they said, are you content? Are you happy with where you are with your money? And they said, no, if we were making $4 million, it was always double.
Right.
And I think people think that the finish line is right there, but it keeps moving. So I think that that's the importance to say, hey, to be content with where I am. And I'm speaking kind of more in the money regards and the stuff regards, but to say, you know, where I am right now, I'm going to be happy. Right. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to reach for more. Yes, but I'm going to be okay. There's a peace with that.
It's choice.
Yes.
Isn't it a choice? And it's all about perspective. It reminds me of women and weight loss. When I talk to young kids who are on a diet, I'll say, okay, you know, they lose more and they lose more. And they're absolutely convinced in their soul that they will be a lot happier and life will be better for them at 16 or 17 if they lose that 10 pounds or they have a number in mind. Mm. And so it really is reaching for the elusive, isn't it? And wanting to change and wanting to grab and wanting to grab. How does our culture feed right into that? And how are we training our kids to stay in that, the grabbing, so that life will get better?
You know, going back to this idea of contentment, I look at how Dad and I figured out, okay, how can you teach your child to be content? I think this plays right into it. Because you first want to teach your child to be grateful.
Yes.
And I think, you know, with weight loss, whatever it is, you know, that you're doing, that you're grateful in life. A grateful person is a very attractive person. And so as you're raising kids to say, hey, be thankful for what you have and where you are right now. Mm-hmm. You know, and that may look like manners to say, please and thank you as you're raising your kids. You know, those kinds of things, just to have a spirit of gratitude. But you can't have a spirit of gratitude without first having a spirit of humility. Mm. And so teaching your children to be humble. Mm-hmm. And C.S. Lewis, I love his quote. He said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less.
Yes.
And so the opposite of humility is arrogance. Mm-hmm. And that's where the entitlement, that, well, I should be this way, this is what I deserve. You know, that's a form of arrogance. And so people are teaching their kids, well, you deserve the best. You deserve everything. You deserve, you know, no, they don't deserve that. You know, do we want to provide and be wonderful to our children? Yes. But what you don't want to teach them is arrogance. You want to teach them humility first and foremost. And so mm-hmm. I think that that's a big aspect of raising kids today in the subject of to say, hey, it's not all about you.
Right.
The world doesn't revolve around you.
It's difficult because I think a lot of parents define good parenting as indulgence, giving, making the children the center of the world. And I think that, you know, because I saw a huge transition in parenting styles in the past 30 years. You know, when I grew up, I was not the center of my parents' world. I was part of the family. We had a role. Dad was doing things. Mom was doing things. But now it's almost as if parenting has become a new profession. And if we make stars and we create stars who grow up to go to the right schools and earn the right amount of money and get the right jobs here and there, then we are great parents. But what you're talking about in teaching our kids humility and keeping them from arrogance is the exact opposite of that. You know, when you're Dave and Sharon Ramsey's daughter and you had a lot, and yet you're a very humble person. So how did your parents teach you humility in the midst of having a lot?
Well, they didn't give us a lot. So that was it. They pulled the strings back a lot. Yeah, but I think that's an important thing. I think people assume, you know, as Dave Ramsey's kid, that we live this, you know, lavish lifestyle and he's the money guru and it's all of us. But really, mom and dad, they lived in a smaller house than some of my friends. They didn't drive as nice of cars as some of my friends growing up. And I wonder, I need to ask them, you know, if they were intentional with that, if that was a specific choice. But what that did was kind of shelter me from the glitz, glam, flashing lights, all of that, that people think of, quote unquote, Dave Ramsey being.
Right.
So I think that that helped shelter it. And mom and dad, they just taught us to work.
Yeah.
And they taught us, you know, that that's where money comes from. Money doesn't come from mom and dad's back pocket. Yeah. It comes from work. And so we had the responsibility from a very young age to have to understand work ethic mm-hmm. and to work for things that we wanted. And so I think those are simple kind of old fashioned ways of parenting that not every parent does today. But I think those little things over time really built this foundation for us. But we saw that stuff isn't going to make you happy.
Right.
It's okay to have some nice stuff. Mm-hmm. Just don't let your nice stuff have you.
Right.
Is what mom and dad taught us.
Right.
Your identity cannot be wrapped up in stuff. And so they really gave us a great balance of that to enjoy the blessings that God's given you. But also that that stuff is not going to make you happy. And so I think we learned that from a very young age. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the humility, just of knowing, you know, I can look at a friend who got a new car and I can be genuinely happy for them and
right.
just say, hey, that's great. You know, and I think that's part of thinking not less of myself. It's just thinking of yourself less. That it's okay to, for it to be about someone else.
Exactly. And living with a sense that you don't need, that I have everything, I don't need. And that's a real freeing place to live. Mm. And I will say, I believe your dad has a lot of humility. Your dad, when you sit and talk with him, it's very clear that he understands all he has been given, his talents, his time, money, comes from God. And he is a blessed person. Yes, he works very hard, but he's a blessed person. And I can't help but think a lot of that attitude didn't rub off on you. So I think it's really important for parents to model that. So what you're talking about is contentment and humility is really a state of the heart. And you talk a lot about in your book about the war for a child's heart. Talk about that.
Yes, Dad opens this chapter of contentment in the book. And yeah, he goes to battle, really, as you read it, where he talks about, you know, that this is really, it's a war for your child. There's advertisers, there's friends. I mean, people are coming after your children to tell them that they need something to complete them, that they're somehow lacking if they don't have this product or service. And to teach your kids that, no, that's not the case. Now, again, this balance of, yes, it's okay to have some stuff. It's okay to enjoy it. But you, yeah, your state of heart, who you are as a person, does not have to be defined by that good or that service. But that's what the world is communicating to your children.
It is a war, and it's really, really hard. And you don't have children, but I know there's going to be a day you're going to look at your dad and go, wow, Mom and Dad, how did you do it? How
do
you
do it? This is so hard. I know.
It is so hard. It's a wonderful thing as a parent to be there, because I'm a grandparent, and it's just lovely to hear your kids go, wow, how did you do that? You and I and your dad and some other great friends have the SMART conference coming up November 1st in Los Angeles, California. Yes. And you are going to be speaking about this at the SMART conference. When you go to conferences like that, and we're going to have a lot of men and women, you are very big on going in and identifying a problem and saying, we have the solution for your problem. And what you talk about is not just that finances are a problem, but, you know, your problem is that you're not content because you're striving for more. But you also talk about the importance of debt-free living. How does debt-free living tie into living with more contentment?
If you're not content, I think it's very easy to constantly be in debt, to constantly have no savings, to have no margin in life, because you're striving with everything you have and everything you don't have, aka money. You're using the avenue of debt to go and try to find this idea of contentment. Content people are able to give more, they're able to save more, and they're able to get out of debt because they're willing to make sacrifices in their lifestyle to get to that point. And so I think there's a huge correlation. And I think, you know, my generation rising up, you know, everything from, I think, us looking at our parents and to see, you know, okay, well, I want the same standard of living as my parents. You know, this instant gratification of I should have that size of house. I should go on that kind of vacation. I should have that kind of car. I should have that kind of job and salary as my parents. Where your generation, my parents' generation, they think, no, you work 30 years to get to this point. You don't get that at 25 years old.
Right.
And so I think, you know, my generation, they have an uphill battle with living life debt-free, because through the avenue of debt, they're able to get whatever they want when they want it.
Right.
If they just pay these minimum payments every month and their paycheck comes in, their paycheck goes right back out 18 different directions to pay for this lifestyle that they simply can't afford. You know, when you teach your kids contentment, I think it's very easy to teach them how to stay debt-free. Because it's preventative, you know, as you're teaching kids, they're not in debt. And so to be able to say that. And so I think that's a huge part of tying back into my story. You know, people think, well, of course you don't have debt. You're Dave Ramsey's kid. But, you know, it's so funny because I'm like, I have free will. I can go get a credit card and go to the mall and spend $7,000 on a new wardrobe. You know, I can go get a car loan and get a brand new car. I have the choice to do that as an adult, but it's not worth it. To me, it's not worth it for that stress. And I think, again, playing back, you know, I'm not perfect, but finding a sense of contentment that I don't need that stuff right now. Can I save and work for it? Yeah. And later down the road, hopefully, you know, maybe we can get to that goal. But right now, in this instant gratification age, you know, it's okay to say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and again, it's a discipline. You know, it's interesting because my parents raised us and my generation of young people with the idea that we want to help our kids live a better lifestyle than we did, which we thought of as go to a better school, get better grades, get a better job, have a bigger home. Now, my generation, many have acquired that, and I think for the first time are looking at raising kids who may not be able. I've had this discussion with one of my family members who's extremely successful. He said, how do I raise my kids to be happy not being able to afford a lifestyle that they grew up in?
Yes.
You know, and that's very, very tricky for a lot of people. Because they say, am I a bad parent? Because my child grew up with a vacation home and lovely vacations and a regular home. And now they're growing up and they're going to have to live in a two-bedroom home for many years because I'm not going to pay all their bills or set their way. What would you say to a parent like that? And I know you, this is kind of a curveball because you usually talk to people your age, but what would you say to the people my age who are feeling kind of badly about that?
Yeah, well, I think that that's my story. I mean, I could say, you know, right. the latter part of my life as a teenager and through college, you know, we went on great vacations, mom and dad. You know, we were able to do a lot of amazing things that my husband and I can't do right mm-hmm. now. Like, we can't go do those things. But I think there's a difference when you're raising your children to teach them to be blessed or spoiled. Spoiled children, they go bad. You can give two different children the same blessing, that same great vacation, that same great experience in life, and one of them be spoiled, take it for granted, they expect that in life, or you can teach a child to be blessed. And mm-hmm. the blessed child says that I'm grateful for this opportunity. I see that mom and dad worked very hard mm-hmm. to take me here, and I'm thankful for that. Mm-hmm. And that grateful child has a sense of reality. So when they go off on their own, they don't expect that mm-hmm. vacation or that sense of lifestyle right away. But it's those who had been spoiled that expect that. So I think raising blessed kids mm-hmm. who are blessed and who see everything as more of a blessing than an entitlement, I think that helps with it. And so, you know, I look at my life now and I'm like, I don't expect to live like my parents. I don't expect to have the things that they have, you know, over time. Do we want to build a house when they, you know, or something like that? Yeah, you know, maybe there's mm-hmm. goals that we have, but I don't expect that because I think I knew how hard that they worked for that. And that it's going to take me a lot of years to work for that. And I think that's the reality of having responsibility with my own money from an early age, mm-hmm. working, making my own money, giving it, saving it, spending it, just having a little bit of responsibility. I felt the weight of those decisions early on mm-hmm. versus going off on my own.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, before in our last minutes, let's talk about legacy. And I know that your dad feels strongly about leaving you kids and grandkids a legacy. And we're not really talking about, well, there's a financial legacy, but there's also a bigger legacy. What's it like to be receiving that? And what does that mean to you? Mm.
You know, mom and dad, they modeled so many incredible things. They were not perfect parents, but there were so many things that I think that they gave us, tools that they gave us for us to win in life, ultimately for eternity. Mm-hmm. One of those being a foundation of knowing Jesus. And I think growing up in a home, I think that there's an interesting slant with the church today. You know, the younger generation, those numbers are dropping off. You know, they're not attending church. So I think mom and dad did well with allowing us to make our faith our own. Mm-hmm. And we were all, I would say, pretty spiritually mature kids from an early age. Mm-hmm. We knew who we were. And I think your book, Strong Father, Strong Daughter, had a lot to do with that, the relationship with our dad. And I think that that was a huge part of it. But they allowed us to have our own faith and to find our way. And so I think that that was big. We weren't just modeling our parents' faith. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that was huge for us in the eternal side. But, you know, even a legacy of things like integrity, mm-hmm. treating people like how you want to be treated, doing the right thing. And I think a legacy of telling the truth. That was a big thing in our house. You know, you tell the truth no matter what, even if it's painful and it's hard. And so these kind of life lessons, these characteristics to go out and win in life. And again, not win monetarily, but I think within relationships, within people, within eternity, you know, these attributes that we have that I'm so thankful for. And so in Proverbs, it says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Mm. And I think that inheritance, yeah, I think that can be finances. And that's part of our hope for people, you know, is that parents can get themselves in a place where you can pass on this wonderful financial legacy to your children mm-hmm. that will not ruin them, but in order to bless them and to bless other people. But I think it's also inheritance of things like patience yeah. and things like integrity. You know, there's so many attributes in life that parents can pass to their kids. And I look at that and how my parents did that. I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, and you can see it in our culture. You can see it acted out in our culture, all this nonsense with these guys at the NFL and mm-hmm. You know, acting badly. And a lot of them don't. A lot of them are really great guys. But you can see that men who grow up without a dad in the home have nothing, and they pass on a wreckage and chaos mm. and abuse, and it, how important it is for the dad to be there and to leave a legacy of great character mm-hmm. in his kids. I want to say too that from our organization, Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, if you go to your website, DaveRamsey.com, and you sign up for the Smart Conference and use the tag word Family Talk, you get $10 off. So that's pretty cool.
Yes. Yep, discount. Yep, yep. Save a little money.
So we're trying to help our listeners out too, and to get, you know, as many people into the Smart Conference as we can. And, you know, again, you don't have to be a Christian to go. You just have to be somebody who wants, to learn a little bit of something about improving relationships, improving money, and improving any aspect of a relationship. You know, I'm going to be talking about fatherhood, and I know Emerson Eggerich is going to be talking about, you know, love and respect. And I think Joy is going to be there again
this
year.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Oh, she's a hoot.
She's great. She's a hoot. So great.
She is. Yes. Yeah. So and funny. It's so encouraging to me to see you young people coming up and grabbing the baton with so much energy and passion and saying, you know what, we are here, we're going to make a difference. And I think that, you know, I look for bigger and better impact in your generation than my impact. You made a statement when you were talking about your parents allowing you to have your faith as your own. Do you remember how old you were when you recognized this isn't my dad's Jesus or my mom's Jesus. This is mine. Do you remember how old you were?
Yeah, I would say I was probably a junior in high school.
Wow. That's pretty young, because I've seen a lot of people kind of come into it in their 20s when they kind of push back and go, okay, I get it now. So that's really great.
Yeah.
Is there anything, I know listeners will want to know, is there anything that your parents did that facilitated that? Because every parent's heart is the one thing I want to do before I die is make sure my kids know Jesus. Mm. And we know as Christians that it takes the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and God has to prepare that child's heart. But as a parent, what can a parent do to facilitate a child accepting Christ or making him his own?
You know, I think mom and dad, they handed a lot of the responsibility, I think, on us. There was no smothering of faith. And I think some people do that and their kids get burned out very quickly. Mom and dad were a little bit more casual. And I think seeing them live out their faith was huge for us as well. You know, I tell parents all the time, more is caught than taught.
Yeah.
And so watching mom and dad and how they related with each other, how they were with other people, you know, even, you know, this is such a small example, but seeing them, you know, with their Bibles open in the mornings, you know, and a lot of kids see that and grow up in that house and they don't follow the Lord, unfortunately. So that those aren't necessary, you know, those aren't guarantees, but those little things I think I saw where I was like, okay, this is real. Like mom and dad aren't faking it. That, you know, they're not perfect, but this is real. Mm-hmm. And so I think them modeling that for me was huge. And again, I think that they kind of let us make mistakes in our own life and kind of find our way a little bit, because that was big for me. I mean, you know, that's where I was junior year of high school, where I just felt so empty of longing for more. And mom and dad allowed
that emptiness to come.
Yes.
You know, a lot of things that people don't realize about you and your family is that life wasn't always roses for you guys.
No,
you
know, not at all.
Your parents have been through the muck and the mire and the mud.
Yes.
And you saw that. I think that may have had some great impact on your character development as well, don't you?
I would say so, yes. I mean, I was born the year they filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And so for the first 10, 12 years of my life, they were trying to recover from that. And I think that humbled dad as well. Growing up with a dad who knew that he didn't have all the answers and he was okay with that, you know, showed that humility. So again, I think it kind of trickles down. The parents having that, that's what the kids experience and see, I think is huge.
Definitely. And I think those are great learning experiences for kids. That's very much the way I grew up as well. I remember for many, many, many years being embarrassed to have people come over to our home because we couldn't afford carpet, but we had the carpet runners. And I remember the feeling, Mom, I don't want to invite friends over because, you know, but how good that was to see my parents content with that, saying over the years, we'll get the carpet. But for now, this is the way it is and it's okay. And my mother was never embarrassed. I was always, but for parents out there who are really struggling, don't protect your kids from it. Let them see and let them participate and let them see your gratitude in the midst of that and say, you know what, we're a family unit. We're going to work together. Because a lot of times parents, what they want to do is they want to protect the kids from it and say, well, even though we don't have carpet, I'm going to scrape all my pennies together, whatever, and I'm going to make sure you're on the elite soccer team. Mm. Well, maybe he doesn't need to be on that. Maybe he needs to go to get a job. and help the family out and put some food on the table, because in the end that gives him much stronger character than feeling like, you know, he's the prince in the home, at the center of the home, and mom and dad are just to jump around him.
That's right.
Well, Rachel, we are going to have so much fun at the Smart Conference, and again, for our listeners out there, it's November 1st. You can go to DaveRamsey.com. You can sign up. You can get tickets for that. And if you use the coupon code FAMILYTALK, you will get $10 off. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But, well, Rachel, I want to thank you for joining me today. Godspeed. I will see you in just a few short weeks.
Wonderful. Thank you, Meg. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about Rachel and her book, Smart Money, Smart Kids, a book she wrote with her dad as well, got to give him some credit, or you'd like to register for the Smart Conference, please visit our website as well, drjamesdobson.org, or give us a call, 877-732-6825. Don't forget, if you do register for the Smart Conference, either by going to DaveRamsey.com or to DrJamesDobson.org, make sure you use the coupon code FAMILYTALK to get your $10 off your admission to the event. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson. For those of you who enjoy our radio program, Family Talk, I have some good news. When you're not able to hear Family Talk right here on your favorite Christian radio station, you can catch us 24 hours a day by downloading the new and free Family Talk mobile app. Visit your app marketplace to download it today. And thanks for listening to Family Talk.